Yo, it's NDLBZ, the biggest matchup, bonus calls, the hottest takes in virtual college football. Let's get it. It's Saturday, the lights are bright, NDL game day, we taking flight. Lick, bring it heat, phonies on the grind, Penguins got the playbook, blowing your mind. Arby's calling shots, Parks breaking it down, Petty D's got the fire that'll shake the whole town. Who's the champ? Who's taking the L? Game day vibes, it's a show you can't miss, no sell. It's NTL, big plays, bold claims, go tell. Game day's here, bring the energy, hype. The Leafs light is right here on the mic.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is Lick. I'm here with Phony, Penguin, Wobble, Sammy, and Smitty. Phony's having some internet issues, so you may not even hear him this show. How's everyone doing today? Sammy, welcome back to the show, man. We missed you last week. I hope you're recovering fine. How are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad. Happy to be back.
How about you, Wobbles? You were up bright and early this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It was a little harder to wake up this morning, but I got a cold Diet Coke in hand and excited for the show.
Yeah, man. Wobbles and I were talking before the show about coffee. Me and Wobbles both agreed we aren't much, like, we aren't coffee guys. We don't drink coffee or anything like that. What about you, Penguin?
If the temperature is below 40 degrees, you give me some coffee with just a pinch of sugar, and it's not a bad way to start the day, as long as I have access in the next 20 minutes to a bathroom, because like clockwork, it's going to be a necessity.
Smitty, what about you? Do you drink coffee?
No, giving me too much heartburn, man. I went for a while drinking coffee every morning, loved it, and then, I mean, it just gives me heartburn so bad, it makes me want to kick a fat kid at Kmart, so I can't do it.
Kmart?
Where did you find Kmart?
Yeah, when's the last time someone shopped at a Kmart?
Shit, man, around here, not too long ago.
I mean, like, is that right next to Pomida?
No, man, I'm just messing around. Theo Vaughn said that one day. I thought it was freaking
funny. Yeah, like, I went over to Kmart, and then I went to Ben Franklin right afterward.
We did have a Kmart over here where I live about 2 or 3 years ago, but it's unfortunate it's gone.
Man, when we talk about college football game day, games released and people could find them early. I remember when I lived up in North Dakota, we would go to the Kmart and it was so padonky that you could go in there and they'd give you games that they weren't supposed to, like Madden. Usually would come out on like a Tuesday and they weren't supposed to release it till the next week. They'd just sell it to you right there over the counter. And so that's where we'd go buy our college football games. We bought our Call of Duty games. And so it's pretty funny you bring up Kmart.
Kmart the GOAT, man.
And I remember people, like, and when I was in college, a bunch of the athletes there on the baseball team, they'd steal games from there all the time because they would go buy one, but then they'd walk out with, like, a different game. Those people that stood at the doors never looked at the game. They just looked that you purchased something. So they would pay for, like, a $10 game and walk out with a $50 one. That was before they kept everything in glass cases and stuff.
Right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, shame on them. So we'll jump right into the action today on College Game Day. We're going to talk about the Mountain West Conference. Today, obviously, on the game day, you'll notice our theme is we don't care about the big guys anymore, right? All the game day pick'ems are going to be all the lower teams in the conference, mid teams fighting for those bowl games, things like that, trying to become bowl eligible. Obviously, the game day game of the week faces off Navy at Army. Which is a pretty big game just in general. If anybody, I'm sure everybody's watched the game before. Sometimes it's the only game on during that last week of the season. And so we'll jump right into the Mountain West Conference. Penguin, I'll ask you first. It looks pretty clear and cut, but who do you think wins the Mountain West Conference Championship?
Well, I mean, I think a conversation's got to start with Boise, with them having Jeansy there. You know, they're definitely just such a huge factor in the mix. I mean, how do you really account for that? Granted, San Diego State is right there as well, but I don't believe, they don't face off this regular season. I feel like they're on a collision course, you know, right now. That's what I see.
What about you, Wobbles? Who do you see winning the Mountain West Conference?
I think they did play, right? If I'm not mistaken, San Diego State won that game. So I mean, this is double check me, and I believe, yeah, San Diego State beat Boise State at Boise State early in the season. And obviously a ton's happened since then, but I think it's San Diego State's to lose at this point. I think they have the inside track. It's his to win, obviously, I think at this point. So if he can handle his business down the stretch, I really see San Diego State kind of taking it this year.
Now, Sammy, you had the opportunity to play Boise State at the beginning of the year and handed them a pretty big loss. Who do you think wins the Mountain West Conference, the championship?
Man, it's got to be tough. San Diego State, if I remember correctly, IROC lost to San Diego State last season, too. I think it was by a touchdown. So it could be one of those situations where the games are close, but at the end of the game, SDSU is coming up with the plays. SDSU clearly right now is going to be, you know, they'll be in the picture. I believe San Diego State holds the tiebreaker over Fresno State. They just have to win out. The schedule's favorable. I have to see if Coach IROC is going to be able to make plays in the fourth quarter. The one he lost this season was brutal. Clock management, some other questionable things going on at the end of the game. So it's going to be close. It's been close between those two guys so far is who makes the plays in the fourth. And right now, SDSU's made more, so I guess I'd have to go with them.
What about you, Smitty? What do you think? Do you think anything plays out differently in the Mountain West between those two teams?
Well, I've talked about San Diego State before. I think he's one of the best coaches in the entire league, honestly. Really like his offense, and he's using a team that I don't think is very great. So I'm going to have to go with San Diego State. I think he's a really good coach. He does a really good job with his play-action passes, runs the ball really well. And with that defense, they're not very good on the game, and he plays pretty solid defense. I said it whenever we picked that game. Genty's going to get his, but I think at the end of the day, he'll just score more points than them.
I'm with you there. Coach C is going to get this rematch against Boise in the Mountain West Championship game. The way things are, you know, lined up, I don't think Boise's going to lose another game, and either San Diego State. Obviously, San Diego State has two tough losses with Miami and Washington State. Go Cougs. There's my plug.
Nice.
But I'm with you guys. I think that he's able to coach. He's always able to make those plays in those close games. And that was me in the Mountain West last year. He always found a way to win those games. And so I just find it hard to believe that Boise State's going to overcome that. And it's going to be at a neutral field, or at least it'll probably be San Diego State hosting because they'll be the one seed. That's a big difference than playing on the blue turf. So the blue turf is it's no fun. I know people talk about the snow games. Playing on the blue turf with Boise's Blues is very difficult. That was a big advantage for Boise, obviously, playing San Diego State. And so I think San Diego is going to win the conference. They obviously won't be enough to make the college football playoff, but I think he finishes with two losses this season.
To jump back in to finish up my semi-incoherence from the beginning there, and seeing I was wrong about them having played, but Genty is still there. They're going to play again. I believe they should have won that first time, looking back at it. And I'm still buying on GT, even on the road, being a beast, and they find a way this time. Go Bronco.
I like it. Well, you know, we'll bring in someone else to get their opinion on this. Someone that's in the Mountain West Conference over there at UNLV, Coach Black Rain. This is his third season at UNLV out there in Las Vegas. I think he boasts like a 14-20 record. In the three seasons. And so, Coach Black Rain, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Man, pretty good. And so you probably heard us talking about that Mountain West Conference, how where you're at. You've obviously had the pleasure of playing several opponents out there, and I see you haven't played Boise, this season, but you do have San Diego State coming up in the next in this previous block, but you have them coming up. Like, who, how do you think the Mountain West is going to shake out, and who you think wins that conference?
I did play Boise State, lost to them 27-21.
Oh, yep, correct.
I held Jonte. When you say you held Jonte to 98 yards rushing, I think that's pretty decent. I don't know. That was the hardest thing I could try, is trying to hold him back. But the interceptions on my end, that's how I lost to Rockefeller there. But for San Diego State, I think Big Z is going to probably take the Mountain West. And also, there's no way Chase can win it, correct, from Fresno State? Is there a possibility that Big Z could lose a couple of games and then Fresno State takes it over Boise State? Is that a possibility? He's got one more game left, correct? He's 8-3.
Yeah, so the way that it looks is that – so Fresno State plays Colorado State, who obviously doesn't have a coach right now.
That's a stem win.
Yeah, he's tapped out. He didn't play Boise this season, so they wouldn't be able to use those two against each other for the one loss. But Boise has two subpar teams. I mean, they're two teams that are below – I think he has, like, Wyoming and Utah or someone like that, or Nevada or something. Left. And so I think when it comes down, I think the tiebreaker would probably have to be common opponents, or it would come down to the rank. So it could actually probably be Fresno. Well, I mean, I just don't see Boise losing another game, though. They'd have to lose another game for that tiebreaker to take an effect.
Yes, boy, he's pretty good with Boise because that running back is so good. And then Big Z, I don't know, when he runs at you, you know it's going to come. So it's either left, right, or up in the middle. And you got to stop it. So, I mean, his rushing game is pretty good. It's hard to say. I would pick San Diego State. Big Z is going to probably win it. And I got to play him, I think, next week, because we're supposed to play this week, but he's out of town. So I'm going to prepare.
You do control a little bit of destiny here to force a tiebreaker. You do only have one loss in conference.
I do. But I don't practice this game. I don't play this game. That's why I keep harping on it. When I back in the old days, on the PS3, I used to play all the time, so I was decent then. And it'd be like 8-5 or 10, you know, 12, you know, Ohio State. I only had two losses with them. Then I left and I got some smaller schools and I did well in those schools. But being 10-year layoff and not playing any sports games, I haven't played in a long time. And then the PS5 was in the storage. Never opened since 2020. So the first season I opened it, played Nidler with his team. I was at Pittsburgh. And that was the first time I used the PS5. So it's been 10 years since I did anything with the PlayStation. And I tried it, didn't like it. So now I went back to Xbox. And I really don't play games that much. So that's why if I have only one loss in conference, I'm lucky so far. But it's going to be hard playing these guys, Big Z. I got to play San Jose State. I got to play Utah State. I got to play Buckeye. And then I got to play Grayson Hewlett with Nevada, UNR. And he's actually doing decent with that UNR team. So it's pretty, you know, it's still anyone's game. But I think Big Z wins the whole thing, actually. And I don't know if I can beat him. I can try, but it's going to be difficult. But Boise State and him, I think Fresno State has some kind of a chance, though. Chase has a chance.
Well, nice. Well, listen, Rain, thank you so much again for being on the show. Obviously, you and I are West Coast guys, and so getting up early, I know it's difficult, but we really appreciate you having on. Tell us just a little bit. We always like to ask our guests, you know, just tell us about your experience in the NDL. How did you get in it? How did you find out about it? And then obviously kind of what, you know, what brought you back after the hiatus?
Okay, so I was back on the PS2. Jeff Moe had a league before the NDL. Him and SSI 698, I think he played. He got me into that league. And Jeff Moe had like a 32-team league or a little bit bigger. So I played on the PS2 college football. And then I got the PS3. That was back in the day. I forgot what year. PS3 is such a long time ago. Plasma, 1896, got me into it. He told me to play, and I joined the league. And with, I think, was the guy from Houston, Vrago Juan? I think that's his Houston team. He had a league also, so I joined that, and I started playing NCAA on the PS3. So when I joined, Plasma told me this is a great league, told me everything about it, and I was like, I kind of know because Jeff Moe created it. I was in another one of his leagues, and I was like, this has got to be amazing. When I saw how many teams were in it, I was like, how's this possibly going to work? And once I did it, I've been hooked on it ever since. I mean, you never think that you would be in a league like this or something like that, you know, because everything is online dynasties now. But when I played, you meet a lot of people, and you talk to them on the headset, the ones that want to talk. And then you just actually have some competitive games, and you have some bad games, but you remember those conversations you have with those people. And one of those conversations I had was with Beefy when he was at Army. Yeah, I always played him, and we always talked. I mean, we talked a long time during the games, and we didn't care who won or who lost or anything like that. But, you know, you just meet genuine people, and that's what the NDL is about meeting people that are from all walks of life, people from Northeast, Southeast, Midwest, you know, West Coast. You'll meet a lot of people. And once you meet those people, you're like, you remember that, those conversations you had. And then the NDL convention comes on in Vegas 2 times. You meet Nidler, you meet Stans, Old School, you meet C-Nasty, you meet Jeff Daddy, you meet all of those guys. And then you drink with them, and you're just like, I mean, you just have a good time. And then 10 years goes out, I don't play video games at all. I mean, I played COD once in a while, and then you guys brought this back, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it again. Even now, I'm terrible. I'm worse now. But it doesn't matter, because playing video games, you know, with you guys is actually, it's fun. My wife told me to get back into it, because she's like, she knew I missed it. She knew I missed everything about it, and it's been fun, even though it's been a terrible record, 14-20, I guess you said, for the past 3 seasons. But it's been fun, and I've been hanging out, and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Man, that's amazing. Amazing to hear. Great answer. Love to hear it. And you can just obviously hear it in your voice when you talk about it and what it means to you. And so it's funny, you were rattling off all the usernames. I mean, listen, I'm one of those guys that can look a guy in the eyes and shake his hand and forget his name a second later. But obviously, you know, I heard you rattle off all these usernames like it's nothing. Always kind of curious to hear them and see them all. What's the story behind Black Rain? Why the username Black Rain?
Okay, so I was born in Vietnam in 1974, so I'm half Asian, so I'm tall. And I'm always, you know, watching Kung Fu movies and all that stuff growing up. But Black Rain, remember the 1989 movie with Michael Douglas and Andy Garcia? Yes. Going to Japan?
I knew it! Huh? Absolutely knew that movie, man.
So
Andy Garcia.
So that's one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up. The Yakuza and the New York Police Department go to Japan, and they go try back get the guy from the Yakuza and bring him back to New York. So that's my name, Black Rain. But the funny thing about it was, let's see, is this when I was in the NDL convention, I think it was, what's the owner of the Nebraska Cornhuskers? What's his name now? What is it?
NGR.
Okay, I remember we're all drunk. It's like 6 of us in the elevator. And I can hear him saying, I thought Black Rain was black. You know, and I was sitting there, I was like, no, I'm Asian, man. You know, like, you know, and he's like, where does Black Rain come from? I go, the movie Black Rain is from the Asian movie from Michael Douglas movie. And everybody starts laughing. When he said that, it made me laugh. I couldn't stop laughing, man. It was funny.
one more question, then I'll pass it on. So obviously, Rain, you and I are both in Vegas. We've had a chance to play and kind of connect. Through that, we found out we're fraternity brothers.
Yes.
Both Sigma Chi. So, and you talk about the convention, man. I am over the moon excited to meet you in person and meet and hang out, you know, in come April at the convention here in Dallas. But with that being said, obviously, I can recall my fraternity days clear as day, and I know if the listeners and other guys aren't in a fraternity, I'm sure you guys can recall living in the dorm or just hanging out with your friends and playing this game. But when you were in your back in the fraternity days, when you were you guys, you know, big? I know for me, we were playing this, you know, playing college football against each other all the time. Obviously, missed a ton of classes. You know, staying home and playing this game against my friends and stuff, and obviously other games and stuff. But when you were in college, were video games a big part of that in the fraternity? Were you guys playing against each other and giving each other shit and stuff like we used to?
Yes, we started out, we always played, what is it, Bill Walsh College Football on Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
I know a majority of the people played with their Colorado team, the 1990 team. I played with my Clemson team, 1981, and then a couple played with Notre Dame, 1988, Notre Dame. So everybody always played college football on Sega Genesis.
That's right, yeah.
And then everybody, you know, then in the fraternity house, you would have to play Sega hockey. So it was NHL 93, 92, and all that to get to the next room. If you're, you know, back, if you're a pledge back then, you had to play and beat the best, you know, hockey, NHL games. But college football, that was number one, Sega Genesis. I mean, it was. We still talk about to this day what we played and what teams we used and all that. And it was, that's why I love NCAA football more than I do anything other games.
Good memories, man. I will tell you, I lost friendships over GoldenEye. I mean, really. I mean, to this day, we don't talk because of that damn golden gun. So, listen, man, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I'll turn it over to some other guys to ask a few questions. But, again, man, really, really good to have you on and really looking forward to meeting you up soon.
Definitely. We're going to have fun in Texas, and that's the reason I'm going, because I just want to hang out and just get away from the family, which is nothing wrong with the, you know, I just want to get out and just enjoy and just go and relax and just party and have some good times and just meet some new people. That was pretty cool.
Amen.
Hey, Black Rain, this is Penguin here. How are you doing this morning?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to do a little differently this time for my segment. We're going to ask you some word association questions. So I'm going to say something, and you just tell me what the first thing that brings to mind for you, okay? And we'll go from there.
Gotcha.
We'll start off with, well, make it easy. First of all, if I say football, what's the first thing that pops into mind?
Clemson Tigers. That's my team. I went to my first game in 1976. I've been a Tiger fan ever since.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're mortal enemies. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
So are you a Gamecock fan? Or you're FSU, so.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Champion.
Champion? Jeez. I have to say, I lived in Massachusetts for. I lived in Massachusetts for in the late 80s, mid 80s, so watching the Celtics, so. Champions, that's for that, for football, Patriots. But for talking about NDL, looks like it's going to be possibly the Oklahoma Sooners or Colorado Buffaloes, huh?
Could be. Okay, next one here. If I say the phrase shitty user, who's a shitty user?
I would say myself right now. I don't practice. I don't play like everybody else does. I watch the NDL live when I'm at work on my laptop, and I was just like, I wish I could play like these guys. And these guys play all day and afternoon and night. I don't know how you guys do it.
A lot of us are still horrible at the game.
Now, imagine if I played a little bit and practiced more, I'd probably be decent. But there's no way I have time like you guys do, majority of you.
And this one's more of a phrase. Greatest video game.
Greatest video game?
Video game system.
System?
Yes.
Oh, that's a tough one. Because I had the Atari 2600 back in the 80s. I had the PlayStation. I had the, what is that one with the Pong? I forgot the name of that system.
With Pong?
You know, Pong. I forgot that system.
The original Atari?
No, it was something else. I forgot what it was. Let's see. The best system, I have to say, would probably be the PlayStation 1, because I love Madden football. But I did love the Atari with the football game, NFL football, what is it, the football games, and then the Tecmo Bowl eventually came to the Nintendo. So I love the Nintendo also. I can't settle on one, so.
I'm a Nintendo 64, but honorable mention to Nintendo and PlayStation 1 for sure. Great
game. My favorite game was probably Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. That's what it was.
Ooh, such a tough one, too. All right, another phrase. Saturdays are for?
Football.
Good answer.
College football. College football. College football is the. I don't know if you guys go to games regularly, but living back, I used to live in the South also. I used to live in Florida, so I used to go to University of Florida games sometimes.
Gross.
I used to go to UCF games, but I never cared about any of those teams. But the reason I say college football is because of the bowl games. I used to go to the bowl games all the time, like the Sugar Bowl, Citrus Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. I've been in the championship games. So I enjoy those college football games, the atmosphere, getting, you know, especially fraternity brothers, and you go in there, you're just partying all day and night. So, and the New Orleans is the best, I think, Sugar Bowl. I saw Notre Dame against Florida back in 91, I think, 92, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, that was another big one. And then seeing Clemson against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl back in 2016 when Deshaun Watson won the whole thing against Alabama. I saw that. So, Saturdays of college football.
All right, a couple more. Vegas there. Casino.
Big. Say that again, I'm sorry.
Casino.
Casino would probably be Caesar's Palace, because I came here in 87 to visit, and I stayed at Caesar's Palace, and it's been the best casino around here for me, as because of nostalgia, because I was as a kid.
Gotcha. All right. Next one. Handcuffs.
Handcuffs. I'm a probation officer. Las Vegas. So I carry handcuffs all the time. I know you probably handcuffs, you're probably thinking something else, but I that's my job. That's what you're thinking. my wife is in the other room, so I'm not gonna say anything about handcuffs. But handcuffs, yes, that was what I do out here. I work probation and parole, work with gang units, so I deal with that all the time.
Okay. Another one. Last one. Pig.
Pig?
Pig.
Jeez, pig. So I'm thinking East near North Carolina barbecue, roasted pig. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
My father's side of the family is from North Carolina, went to NC State. The rest went to East Carolina or North Carolina. Uh-huh. And they always roast a pig every time for family reunions. So they're still out there, and I go visit. So I think pig, I think of barbecue.
Fantastic. Okay, then on follow-up to that, for making barbecue, is there a dry rub? Is there sauce? And if so, what type of sauce?
Just dry rub. No sauce. Just dry rub? They don't believe in sauce, and it's all about the vinegar, peppers, and all that for North Carolina barbecue.
That we can agree on. That is a glorious way to prepare meat.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to hand it off. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Tim? Wobbles?
Sammy's got some questions for you.
Man, sorry. Hearing the barbecue this early in the morning is making me hungry. I'm sorry. That sounds really good right now. I just got a couple of questions for you, Mr. Rand. I'll keep them more related to NDL since FSU's definitely got the fun ones. In your time in the NDL, do you have a favorite player that you use? Doesn't have to be now with UNLV. It could have been in a past version of the game. Just curious if there's a guy that really stands out to you.
The one that I've played as a rivalry?
Or just a player that you've controlled. And actually, yeah, follow-up question on that. Your favorite player to play since you've come back?
Okay, so here's the funny thing about that is everyone I used to play, he's either is gone or they left. They came back and they left. So they've had about, but Beefy was my favorite player to play. Why? Because of the conversations we had and to talk, and you know, he was a genuine good person to speak with, and you know, about his family and about how he hated people sometimes in the NDL. It made me laugh, but I enjoyed playing him, even though it wasn't, you know, the games were either or, you know, we have fun playing. But now since we came back, you know, I've had, what is it, Stimpen? I had Kugnix. I had some of the players. They all left after the first season because they said he couldn't handle the game. And so I stayed. And my favorite person to play, I would have to say, would be Jeff Daddy. Why? Because he throws that ball pretty good. I like playing against him, and he's competitive, and he knows how to throw the ball. Even though his record says 1-7, the guy is way better than that, and he just gets can't catch the breaks a couple of times. But he's a pretty good baller. I give you that. And then Rockefeller, he's another one with the Boise State. Just, you know, I like playing them. But playing Nidler with Penn State is a challenge. Playing Western Kentucky, playing him is a challenge because it's just the records don't reflect how they play. It's just, you know, who else? It's Daniel over there in Ohio State. See it, save it. You know, his team's tough. I like playing those guys. And Victim 7, he doesn't have his record, doesn't show that either. He's 3-7. Over at Boston College, but he, you know, if he had a chance to play more like I do and some of these other guys would, I think they'd be way better with their record. So my going back to saying, I'd say Jeff Daddy for your answer to your question.
That's a pretty good group of guys there. Yeah, I miss being in the Mountain West. Playing Jeff Daddy was fun. I'm not used to playing someone that is going to pass 80% of the time. It's definitely a nice change of pace.
So when you play good defense against him, he finds another way. And I'm sitting there like, how did he do that with that quarterback and those receivers? I don't know how he does it. I can't stop his passing. I know I'm not great at the game. I wish I could practice more. But he threw over like 350 yards against me the other day. I still won because of my rushing game. But when I had a 17-0 lead, he came right back and almost tied it. So I was just like, you can never put him down.
Oh, man, that's tough. That's fun, though.
Yes.
Got another question for you. I remember in the Mountain West threads last season, we were kind of talking about some of our favorite players. So I know you're a UNLV guy. Just if you could share with the audience some of your favorite Mountain West guys that you've got to watch.
Big Z's one of my favorites to watch. Why? Because his running game. He makes San Diego State way better than they are. His running back's pretty good. I give him, his stick skills are pretty good on that user defense. Rockefeller with Jonte, if he breaks a tackle, he's gone against me. And I gang tackle him with like five or six guys, and he broke like a couple against me. I'm sitting there like wondering, like, how? Another good player, let's see.
I think most are when they face that guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of about who else is. I would say Chase, even though he didn't have a great game against me, it was still close. He threw five interceptions, and I won 30-24, and he almost still had me. So I'm saying this, his stick skills and his team is pretty good. He threw at will against me. And then, let's see. It's too bad Colorado State doesn't have his owner anymore. Even though I don't play him, I like watching him also. T-Step, when he was there.
Yeah.
That's Badger, correct? That's Badger's original name. Badger, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
So when Badger was there, he was playing them pretty, he was taking them, doing pretty well with them. So I like watching him too also play. But I'm a Mountain West guy because, like, you know, even though my favorite team is Clemson and growing up because I used to live back east and down south and northeast, I graduated from UNLV, so that's why I like to play with UNLV. So,
I think that makes, because SDSU also is an alum for the Aztecs, so it's pretty cool to see guys get the team that they went to school for.
Yeah. The
last question for you. UNLV, favorite athlete of all time?
Favorite athlete, Larry Johnson.
1890 that's basketball.
Pretty good team. One.
Good answer, man. Cool.
That is a good one.
Big mama.
So I grew up, you know, my favorite sport is college football, but basketball was back in the 80s and 90s for UNLV. I watched them all the time with Tarkanian and, you know, the all those players that came through, and Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman, Anderson Hunt, and all them. George Ackles. All those were my favorite players to watch. And Larry Johnson. That team, I don't know if anybody could ever beat that team. I'm sorry, 1990. I know 91 they lost to Duke. But 1990 UNLV, come on, nobody could touch that team.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team. Oh, that's all the questions I got. Thanks for answering, sir. I don't know if anything else to add.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, so Black Rain, we appreciate you coming on the show. You'll stick around, do our picks with us later on. Man, it's really good to hear all those usernames and some of the usernames of people that are no longer in the league or even no longer with us. Yeah, we'll just move along to the next topic here on the NDL Game Day, where we're going to keep it in the mid-majors here, and we're going to talk about a surprise team in the Sun Belt. Maybe a team that, obviously, sometimes with these mid-majors, we get new coaches in there, so no one's familiar with them. Or you get some old coaches that maybe have some success in the mid-major schools after leaving a bigger school. Penguin, who's kind of your surprise team in the Sun Belt this year?
Well, I mean, I could cheat and take an easy one, and I will. And that's obviously going to be Southern Miss. I mean, I'm not familiar with, in fact, I'm not even sure how to pronounce the coach's names. We're lacking, we don't have nearly enough vowels in there for me. Soxie, I'm not sure. But I mean, they're running at 8-0 right now. You know, looks like we're going to see a showdown with them and Old Dominion coming up, who's not a surprise. I think everyone knows Old Dominion was going to be a beast this season in that conference, but. Yeah, Southern Miss. I mean, and if you looked at the way they've won, too, as I glanced through their results here, none of these games are close. They're not out there having battles. And what really stands out for me, playing with a kind of a mid-quarterback, Tate Rodemaker, 27 touchdowns, 4 picks. That's impressive with a really good quarterback. That is way more impressive with a mid quarterback who never should have transferred to the state of Florida State to begin with. That's what I got.
I'm going to have to go with Georgia Southern. And luckily we're going to get to talk to that coach here soon. But yeah, I mean, sitting at 7-2, 4-1 in conference and has won 7 in a row. I started a dynasty with that team, and I'm not sure what kind of offense he's running, but I mean, there's a few talented players, but to see Jordan Southern kind of right behind, you know, Marion in the East division there, is surprising for me. Obviously, you've got some veterans behind him with App State and Holman and stuff, but I think Georgia Southern, you're just looking at the standings here, it just stood out to me and definitely surprised me so far.
I'm going to have to go with Southern Miss here. Seems like we're on a collision course for an undefeated matchup in the Sun Belt Championship. We knew MC was going to do pretty well with Old Dominion. He's, you know, other than the scare against Homie, he's been really, really good this season, both in the cup and, you know, in the regular season. It's always odd when you don't have, like, anything to go off of. It's Saucy's, I think that's how you say his name. Probably have to ask him one of these days to get confirmation on that. But this is first season he's played great, just coming in, flying in under the radar. And I'm really curious to see how he matches up against MC since we're on that inevitable collision course.
I'm gonna go with Georgia Southern as well. I knew whenever I seen that name, Big Red, he was a freaking badass. So I've been on him ever since, I think, about 4 weeks ago when we was making the pick between Georgia Southern and Georgia State. And I've watched him play a couple games. He's very good user, very good player. And Georgia Southern's not very good on that game. So to be 7-2 is very impressive. Southern Miss, obviously, at 8-0 is stupid good. I ain't going to say nothing about Old Dominion. I feel like we talk about him enough as it is, so. Mine will be Georgia Southern and Southern Miss for sure, them two, and their records show it.
Yeah, I mean, this is 2 years in a row that the Sun Belt has really had teams running the table this late in the season. Obviously, last year it was Louisiana Monroe and the Warhawks, and obviously they faced off against Louisiana Raging Cajuns. both in the same side of the on the west side there in the Sun Belt Conference. What's nice about this year is obviously we've already talked about is the championship game has the potential to be also a playoff in game, right? Like a play in game for the college football playoff. It potentially for Southern Miss. Obviously, they need to jump in the rankings because they got to make sure they're ahead of like Houston or any other mid-major. But probably my biggest surprise this year, I kind of got two of them kind of tied. I would say Sutton over there in Louisiana, Raging Cajuns. Sutton's got a 5-4 record this season. He hasn't had a 7-win season since like season 25. And so obviously 5 years, he's pushing to become bowl eligible. He's got two games coming up on his schedule against Troy, who's in last place at 0-5. And then he also plays the Battle of the Bayou in Louisiana Monroe. He wins those two games. He's back at that 7-win bowl eligible, which would be a really big season for Coach Sutton and the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Also, I'm going to go with my nephew out there in Marshall, the Thundering Herd, mainly because, A, he beat me, but also 5-5 in the conference. My preseason projection for him was probably to win two or three games in that conference. And so he's obviously found his mojo on the offensive side of the ball, but, man, his defense is bad this year, worst in the Sun Belt. One of the worst defenses in the nation, giving up 339 points already. But sitting at 5-5, he's got a big game against Old Dominion. He says he's just trying to not get 35. But those will probably be my two big ones right now. Two teams that are vying for the bowl eligible, which is a really big deal in the NDL, become bowl eligible at that 6-win mark. Sure. And so that's what I'd say, probably two surprising teams. I think obviously we could talk about Holmey as well. He's always floating right in there about being competitive for that conference championship and had Old Dominion on the ropes there, which would have been a really big upset. Anybody else have anything else to talk about with the Sun Belt before we introduce Coach Big Red?
I think the point is really good that we, you know, had those two undefeated teams last season and again this season. This is definitely I'm excited to see what happens in the future. Sun Belt's given us some great football these last two seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call, Slick.
Yeah, really, really competitive conference. I do like how the Sun Belt does break it up in the East and West because it's different. I don't like it in general for college football, but I think for the NDL, it's kind of fun to have two different divisions within a conference. So next we'll bring up Coach Georgia Southern Big Red. He's with us today. He's actually at baseball practice in college right now in the outfield shaking fly balls, you know, because pitchers can't hit. How are you doing today, Big Red?
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. It's game day, actually. I got stuff in the vehicle right fast to, you know, do a little bit of an NDL game day. But, man, I'm doing great. About yourself?
Man, we're doing good. Glad to have you on the show. Coaching the Georgia Southern Eagles to a 7-2 record, 4-1 in conference. You know, probably meeting expectations or even exceeding them. I'm not really sure how those expectations were coming into the season, but what were they when you came into the season this year in the Sun Belt? What were your expectations with Southern Georgia?
You know, man, I was picking 93rd in the league, and I sat there and I looked at the teams left, and I said, man, I got to do some serious research about kind of how this team plays. And I saw Georgia Southern down there, and man, I love J.C. Frenton, and Jalen White is a workhorse for sure, and I've gotten to see them play a lot in person. I said, man, why not? This would be an easy offense to learn, and I kind of saw how it was bracketing up, and I thought, man, if I could just find a way to get, like, 5 wins. If I go, like, 5-7, find a way to stay competitive, I can draft a better team next year. And then, you know, when the ball got rolling, and, man, I know it says 38-28 against Utah, but I had a chance to tie it at OT. It was 4th-and-1 on my own 28. Threw a pick six with like 30 seconds left. So for me, the bar right now is 10 wins. Nope. Hold on. Give me just a second. I can take it. I can fix it. Hold on. Just step inside right there. All right.
Now we can hear you.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, Big Red.
Yeah, but yeah, after that Utah loss, on that pick six, fourth and one, you know, fourth quarter drive, had a chance to potentially go in and win it. I from that game on, being 1-1, I said, oh, I'm going to go win 7 games. And now sitting at 7-2, I wholeheartedly feel I can go get 10.
Nice. But listen, love the confidence, man. Love the confidence of you young bucks that are in the league and obviously playing well. So listen, Red, again, thanks for joining us. Know you're busy with your schedule and baseball and everything. Just make sure you don't get popped with one out there in right field. So listen, same question for you as Rain, and obviously looking forward to your answer as being kind of a younger guy and newer to the league. How did you come to the NDL? And what are your initial thoughts on a league like this? Probably different from what you've seen. So again, what brought you to the NDL? How'd you find out about it? Then what are your initial thoughts after your first season?
Let's see. So I got introduced to the NDL by the real Dre. He was, I believe, Louisville last year, and he's Wake Forest this year, I'm pretty sure. We actually have played co-ed softball together in the summers. It's kind of what I use to stay in shape and keep moving around. And he messaged me. He said, "Hey man, you any good at NCAA?" I said, "Man, I'm all right. What you got?" He said, "We got this league that I think is pretty cool." And man, I got to doing my research on it. I looked at the website first before doing the whole wait list process and all that. And I said, "Man, they really get after this. There's a lot of time and care in this." Started reading some of the articles and seeing all the Hall of Fame and the archives, and I was like, "Ooh, this is something I want to be a part of." And then my initial thoughts now is, man, I could see myself being a part of this for a while, man. I like being involved in the media stuff. I'm out there in the terms of like charisma and show a lot of life in any of the live streams and any of that. So, man, I see myself being a part of this for a while.
That's great. Great. Awesome. And definitely see it and hear it in your voice. So how about you? What's the story behind Big Red?
Oh man. So boss, appreciate the credit earlier. Was saying, whoever said, I hear that, what was it? Oh, I knew by his name being Big Red, he was going to be badass. That was fire. But, funny enough, in high school, we were coached by a guy who was Chipper Jones's backup, and we were the Red Tears, and we were talking about big momentum he ended up slipping up and saying Big Red, and we put it on t-shirts, and that was kind of our momentum slogan going forward was, man, you got to play with Big Red. And I mean, that was my gamer tag from that point on, and then everybody just started calling me Red, and it blossomed into this.
Nice. Love it. Great story. Last question for you. So, again, starting off in the NDL, like you said, you're drafted 93rd and playing with some of these smaller teams. Obviously can be a lot of fun, probably teams that you would never play with, normally, but also a huge challenge, especially when you're playing in the Beefy Cup and some of these things against the much better teams. You're obviously managing it well, but in a perfect world, you've exceeded expectations and done all the other things, and you get that higher draft spot. What's a team you're looking to move up to next? What's ultimately your goal
here? And I was sitting there thinking about it because I was just talking about this with a couple of the other guys about, I think this next season will start in this game, and the season after it will start in the new one. So you got to think about dynasty purposes and,
absolutely,
transfer portal and all that good jazz. And I also thought about, man, it'd be really cool to just – I could one and done another team and pull it up. And, a team – I love Cam Scataboo. That's one option, man. Cam Scatagoat is – man, I love that cat. But, there's one team who always gets 3 top 10 games every year, and that's Georgia Tech. Man, Haynes King is a dog, and they're going to have Singleton, and they're going to have a great running game. And I don't think I'm that bad on the user end, even though I've given up 30 points a game this year. It's just because offensively I'm giving so many possessions away, scoring so much and they're getting the ball. But I think I'm circling Georgia Tech, man. I think I'm going to be a top 15 pick. And, when y'all see at pick 14, Georgia Tech go off the board, and, man, I'm going to have a chance. I mean, that's a make it or break it team right there. You get Georgia, you get Clemson, And, I mean, out of conference, I like to schedule pretty good. So I think, I mean, that's a chance of if I, you know, can write my own destiny, that's a chance to be a potential top 10, top 15 team in the league with an 84 overall Georgia Tech.
Sounds good to me. Well, listen, man, well, best of luck to you. Sounds like you're out here playing chess while us old guys are playing checkers. So good luck to you, and I'll turn it over to Penguin.
Hey, Big Red, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. About yourself?
Pretty well. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed on hearing the origin story of Big Red. I was kind of hoping it was a chewing gum reference.
If you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you. Yeah, that's it, but I didn't want to say that on air.
that was my hope and dream, so I at least appreciate the reference there. It's very good, very good.
Oh, of course.
Now, you being a baseball and a football guy, if you had to pick between those two sports, you could only play or be involved with one of them, which one would you choose?
You know, man, I had the same decision going into high school, and now looking back at it, I've made the right decision, and, you know, I'm just going to kind of use the terminology of now. I can throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball right now. I'm still getting ran over by the deaf and the blind right now. You know, I couldn't tackle worth a dang. Big enough to be a great backup tight end and the starting fullback. So, you know, I mean, baseball's for me, man. It's got my pride and joy. It's taken me crazy places, and I'm blessed for every opportunity it's opened up for me. I've done some incredible things, man. And now I'd choose baseball in a heartbeat. But, I mean, video game career, give me college football. Football all day. MLB the Show can crash and burn, all right?
All right. Well, we'll jump on the baseball line there. What are your thoughts on the controversial Yankees facial hair rule and how it's allegedly being altered now?
You know, here's my thought. I love team traditions and you know, like team rules. I think it makes baseball. But with the Yankees rule, man, Devin Williams doesn't look like Devin Williams. We got to get him a beard. I'm going to be honest with you. If he's facing me, and, you know, I pitch, I don't hit. But if I'm hitting and Devin Williams with no beard comes up, I'm taking him yard. I don't care. So they got to get that brother a beard. I'm okay with it. I think it'll make the team look a little better. I think the morale will be up. And, you know, it's had to have happened. The statement that they made about free agents potentially not wanting to shave their beard, I mean, them saying it means it's definitely happened in years past. It opens it up for them. And I don't know. I personally don't mind it. I think facial hair is good. I've got facial hair. I don't want to say I have a nice beard, but I have a nice beard.
Haven't been clean shaven in more than 20 years. So, I mean, you know where I land on that.
Yeah. If Boone is listening to the NDL podcast right now, please sign me. I'll shave my beard if you really want to. But no, I don't mind it personally.
All right. We'll follow up there. A kind of a two-part question here. Your pregame meal or ritual before both playing baseball or playing NCAA?
Do you have a
drink you got to have?
I've got one of both. So baseball, like today, this morning, we have a 9:30 start. Woke up at 8. Always take a shower before game day. Go in there. I prep some chicken parmesan, put it in a little to-go Tupperware, bring it to the field. You know, hit my stretch. I get my back cracked by a particular teammate. And then I eat my chicken parm. I drink my Celsius energy drink, and I'm good to go. I'm locked in. Now, NCAA, man, pregame ritual is I come home. I make myself a big, tall glass of water. If it's a Saturday night, I bring 4 Miller Lights, and I get to going. And that's about it.
That is a fantastic answer, sure. All 4 during the game?
Oh, yeah. At 1 per quarter.
And you managed to finish the game without having to piss like a racehorse?
Nope. Man, some people want it and some people don't. It's mental toughness, man.
Damn. Yeah. That might be the most impressive answer I've heard in any of these questions I've asked so far during the show.
Thank you.
Following up there, as you're a younger getting into this league with all these these old fogies and stuff here. Have you been yelled at an old person as of yet since your time in the league?
I've come across a few older guys, and you know, I mean, I love them. Like I said, I've seen some of the feedback in some of the live chats of the younger cats are like, oh, why are you telling me how to play? Dude, I love it. I love getting the feedback from people who played in the league for 15, 20 years because, I mean, granted, yes, I've read the rule book, but I haven't, you know, I don't know every last bold detail that's in there. So it's like, hey, if I'm down three in the third quarter and I start running hurry up, like, oh, snap, because I don't feel like my defense can get a stop against this guy. I've just got to score. Like, then it's like, oh, hey, you can't do that. And I love the feedback from the guys who've played for 15, 20, 30 years, man. I mean, I think that's what makes the league so good is y'all have had a structure for 31 seasons, man. Like, typically, if you do something 31 years in a row or 31 seasons in a row, you typically are doing something pretty good. So it's like for the people who come in, I hate to say bitching, but bitching about the rules and about people messaging them rules. I mean, honestly, get over yourself, dude. Like, they've had something here, and we're just thankful to be a part of it.
Okay, that's my new favorite answer I've ever received to a question here, man. So you now hold the top two greatest answers I've received in this. So
I appreciate it.
Quite impressive, sir.
I speak from the heart, man.
I appreciate it. That made me forget one of my questions. Okay, well, I've got one more baseball-related one, then, to get your opinion there.
All right.
The Dodgers' abuse and rape of the intended structure of the salary cap situation and how contracts are supposed to work in baseball. Good or bad for the sport?
Man, there's two sides to things. And, A, I don't personally believe you should be able to restructure that many contracts and that much money. I think that's kind of where your fix is allowing the amount of money that can be restructured per season, not restructured into what season, but it's just how many restructurable contracts you can have in that year. But I mean, baseball is a game that it's a game of inches, man. And you know, when you have so many talented players on a roster and the expectation is so high, I mean, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if they get knocked off. That's all where I'm at is you have an entire fan base and I mean you an entire front office spending billions on a team.
I pray for that every single game they play that they get knocked off personally.
And when the expectation is so high, I mean, and pressure makes diamonds or pressure makes gold. And I personally think they're on fraud watch.
Very nice. All right, my last question, follow up. In your time, as short as it's been in the league, who would you say has been your best opponent or greatest challenge so far to this point?
Man, I don't even want to talk about him, man. I really don't. Man, old Dominion was rough. I spent so much time because his streams aren't saved. So I've had his Twitch notifications pinned and I've seen him in my streams a lot. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, I got to change my style of play. And in that game, I missed the opening. I drove down like 70 yards, missed the opening field goal, and I was like, ah. But, man, I mean, his defensively, he's incredible, and offensively, he recognizes cover three like nobody's business. And I didn't figure out how to have an adjustment for him until, I don't know, we lagged out, and then our two extra quarters we played, I kind of slowed it down a little bit. Man, and I kicked myself in the butt over that game because I was so worried about a scouting report and playing different to how I usually play that I should have been playing what has been working for me. I mean, I took out my aggression on who's Toro? Alabama State? Yeah, I took my aggression out on that game for sure. So, like, I don't know, man. That has been the toughest opponent I've had. He deserves the college football playoff. If you're not voting Old Dominion, if you haven't seen these point differentials, I mean, you're just biased at that point. I mean, you can't go against the raw talent that he has as just a coach with the roster that he has. So that has been my toughest opponent for sure. And he was very informational after the game. And I appreciate that going forward in the league. And I hope he goes in the ACC so I can see him again next year.
All right, man. That's good stuff as well. Appreciate you. Two of the greatest answers of all time. It's been a great interview, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. You as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sammy or anyone else got some questions?
I'll jump in. Only because you talked about it a little bit before we went live on a broadcast a little bit earlier. You talked about your baseball kind of bringing you around, kind of full circle to where you're at now. In case anyone doesn't know, you're currently playing collegiate baseball right now. But you also had the opportunity to play for the Savannah Bananas. Obviously, there's a big craze right now. Some of us had known who the Savannah Bananas were before they obviously went on their world tour and everything. So just kind of talk about that, when you played for them, and everything about that.
You know, I got the opportunity when, I was a freshman in college and ended up exceeding expectations for this junior college that I played for. And I said I wanted to play summer ball, man. I just, you know, didn't know where to start. And they said they didn't have really any connections for summer ball, but they'll be in touch. And on my way home after my exit meeting, a man called me and said, "Hey, May 23rd, I need you to be up in Savannah," and hung up. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Like, I mean, classic Conor McGregor fashion, man. I mean, I was like, man, what the hell are we talking about here? Who the, you know? And I get a little further down the road. I'm about to pull into the house. Old high school coach calls me. He goes, "Hey, did Barry call you?" I'm like, who the hell is Barry, dude? I'm just, you know, I'm worried about going to get some chicken wings from Skinny Pete's, man. Like, he goes, "No, you're going to Savannah. Yeah, you're a banana now." And I'm like, oh, shit. So I go up there. I sign my contract. In college summer ball, there's this thing called temp guys. And they signed me to be a temp guy because their big Power 5 guys hadn't been there yet. You know, all the big guys that throw 100 and stuff. And then I ended up doing a promotion that blew up on TikTok. And I ended up doing an interview with Access Hollywood and CBS. And they decided to sign me off for the rest of it. And man, I mean, yeah, it's changed my life, really. I mean, it's opened up a lot of doors for, you know, colleges and you know, just, I guess, doing commercials here and there. And you know, it makes my day, like, seeing a kid be like, "Oh, hey, yeah, you play for the Bananas." And, like, because I was there, man. I met Jason Hayward, and Hayward big-dicked me when I was 12 years old. And I was like, man, if I ever become famous, I don't ever want to be like that. So just being able to have the opportunity to make a kid's day, like, dude, I love that. So, yeah, no, that's kind of the story with the Bananas. But 21, 22, into the 22, 23 season was the Bananas.
I'll jump in. I got two questions for you, Mr. Big Red.
What you got?
I love talking some baseball. One, who is your favorite baseball player of all time? And then a more trickier question. Do you think we'll ever get another Hall of Famer voted in unanimously? And if so, who do you think it'll be?
Let's see. Funny enough, you'd never guess from my voice or the voice cracks on the stream, but I'm of Hispanic descent. And, man, something about watching Jose Bautista pimp a ball out, man. I mean, I love that cat. And, I mean, that's why I like the Blue Jays so much, even being from Georgia. Like, man, Jose Bautista was my guy. If not, man, when I was first watching baseball, the Flying Hawaiian, Shane Victorino, dude, love that cat playing. And I think there's a couple guys. I think Shohei, I hate to say Shohei, but Shohei will be unanimous. And I think I saw this thing. If Scherzer can play two or three more healthy seasons, he's got a chance to crack the strikeout. It's like second in all-time strikeouts, like second or third. So I think he's got a chance. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, Ichiro not being unanimous is unbelievable. I mean, that's one of the greats, man. And I just, funny enough, if they ever let Barry Bonds do it, Barry Bonds should be unanimous. I know. Yeah, drugs. But he still had to hit the baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was still in a Hall of Famer before performance enhancers. So I think if for some reason decide that they'll let Pete Rose in, or if they'll let Barry Bonds in, they'll be unanimous. But other than that, no.
I mean, it was crazy. I'm going to jump in with that. Those are great questions, Sammy. Just a little bit of baseball talk. Obviously, I'm a giant Seattle Mariners fan, grew up in the Northwest. Obviously, Ken Griffey Jr. is my favorite baseball player I've ever seen live. He's my favorite professional sport athlete I've ever witnessed. Just the things that, you know, I was there for the last game in the Kingdom where he hit a home run and he robbed a home run from Juan Gonzalez. They end up winning the game against the Rangers. But, I mean, we could probably have a whole show on how horrible the Hall of Fame voting is. Yes, I don't know how Griffey's not anonymous, unanimous, as well as Ichiro, who's probably a generational talent. Obviously, if he plays in Major League Baseball his entire career, he's the hit king without a question.
Easily.
And so it just completely blows my mind when we talk about Hall of Fame voting, and it just shows. I wish that they made the votes at least public. I know the voters can make themselves public, but the votes are all private. That's got to change, you would hope. But,
I don't understand how you can be – oh, sorry. Sorry to cut you off. But I don't understand how you can be a baseball unanimous Hall of Famer, but not a MLB unanimous Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's just – all it is those writers, some writer that has some big beef with those guys because they went to interviews or some shit. They have some dumb – there, I mean, if you watch baseball, there's no way that you don't vote them in. Obviously, Derek Jeter was a no-brainer. He should have been in, obviously. I think he missed out by one vote, which is just crazy. Anybody that watches baseball, it just really blows my mind. Big Red, we love having you on the show, man. A lot of fun. I think you're going to be a great addition to the league. And I think you hit it on the button when you said you come in the league and you're open. To the NDL way, maybe not the rules in specific, but how the NDL guys play each other and how the league has sustained itself for, you know, over 30 seasons, which shows a testament to the type of people that we have in here, which is absolutely amazing. We're just going to go ahead and jump into time constraints here. We're at 10:09, trying to keep this at 90 minutes today for all you listeners. We're going to jump right in. Both Black Rain and Big Red are going to jump into the NDL game day pick'ems here. We'll jump into the first game, Nevada at UNLV. This is the battle for Nevada. Two teams have faced off 29 times here in the NDL. And really, it's going to come down to which team's going to come away with that coveted Fremont Cannon, which I know everybody's really excited about for the state of Nevada. Nevada holds the overall record at 18-11. Coach Black Rain, though, has won the last two meetings as he's been the coach for UNLV for the last two seasons, 29-30. But, man, Coach Grayson, I think he's just going to have a little bit better offense here. He's going to outlast those Rebels in Vegas, so give me the Wolf Pack. What do you got here? What do we got, Penguin? We're skipping Phony.
Oh. We are? No Phony? Okay, gotcha. Well, jumping right in there, I gotta kind of see it a very similar way. You know, UNLV definitely not discounting Coach Blackburn in any way, shape, or form, and he's got the home field advantage, but I definitely feel that Nevada offense is takes a little bit better care of the ball. You see a better touchdown-interception ratio, and, I mean, it's not an absolute, but, I mean, a team that quarterback has a better ratio that usually wins the game, so you got to give me the Wolf Pack in this one.
You're up, Wobbles. I think you're muted, Wobbles.
Yeah, I was. Sorry about that, guys. Talking right now. But listen, yeah, I mean, guys, this is a hard pick, especially having the coaches on and getting to know Black Rain. And obviously he'd been a fraternity brother, so want to pick him. But it's hard to overlook. This is an offensive game. We all know it's an offensive game. And right now, Nevada, just more efficient on third downs, overall points per game. Nevada sitting at 26 points per game, UNLV at 14. I think the offense is just a little too much. And the third down efficiency, I'm going to go with Nevada here.
I also feel bad not picking the coach when they're on the show, but it'll be a close game. I'll definitely say that. UNLV, every Mountain West game has been a one-score game. I just think Nevada's offense will give him a little more margin for error. and he'll win a close game, win by 4 or 5 points.
I also feel bad, but Black Rain said it himself. He don't get to play the game as much as he'd like, as much as he would want to. So for that reason only, I'm going to go with Nevada in a close game. Back in the day, I would definitely pick Black Rain by 14 plus, but right now I'm going to go Nevada, 3-point game, last second field goal.
Who do you have, Black Rain?
I can't go against myself. I mean,
I love it.
If I don't throw the ball, I have a chance. I mean, if I can run, if I get those lanes. But I didn't have those opening lanes against Wasted Memory in Western Kentucky. I didn't have it against Ohio State. I didn't have it against Penn State. So I've been playing some tough teams, but hopefully I can run the game ball. So I'm going to pick myself. I know I struggle. As long as I don't throw the ball, I'm all right.
And you know what? I'll be the one to say it. Give me UNLV. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the two. Don't get me wrong, Nevada, 80th ranked offense, Indiana, 78th ranked offense. But the way that I see it, the way that I think it's going to go down, it's going to be a high scoring, one score game. And I think, you know, I don't know who's going to get the ball, this, that, and other, but I'm seeing in the fourth quarter, give me UNLV to drive down 75 yard drive and go win it on a touchdown. Thinking like 50. Ooh, give me 52-49 UNLV.
All kinds of points being put up, says Big Red. It should be a great game. Leading into our next matchup between Coach Old School and Northern Illinois at 1-6, facing off against Miami, Ohio, and Quest for Gold at 4-5. This is really a battle of who's going to is Northern Illinois going to get their first conference win? Miami trying to get to that bowl eligible mark, which we talked about earlier at that 6 wins. This is obviously a great step for that. I think the biggest difference in this game, at least for me, is going to be the running attack from Miami, Ohio. Averaging nearly 150 yards a game, big difference. You know, to where the other side of the ball, Northern Illinois really struggled moving the ball on the ground, averaging 58 yards a game. Obviously, in the NDL, we know that you got to be able to run the ball to win games. It's just too easy to throw interceptions and turn the ball over. I think that's where it's going to go here for Coach Old School or there in Northern Illinois, is he's going to throw a couple picks early, and Quest for Gold's going to come out with the win.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. And this game is at Miami of Ohio, and they've taken better care of the ball, and they've got a better record. But for some reason, even though they've got one loss, I feel compelled to take Northern Illinois. I have no logical reason other than perhaps this is a side effect of cold medication and caffeine or God knows what else, but go Huskies. Huskies are going to win this game.
And that's bold. I don't know what you're currently taking, but I'll have some. I can't go that way. Current form, NIU's lost 6 straight. Looks like they're struggling to score a little bit. Miami's coming off a win against Ball State, and obviously running the ball really well, scoring the ball well. I see no reason not to pick Miami in this game.
Yeah, I got to catch that Ball State game. That was a really fun watch. Yeah, it's, for me, Northern Illinois, it's not just the questions about the offense, it's the questions about the defense. They've got a couple of games where they've given up over 40 points. So I'm going to have to go Miami, Ohio.
Well, I'm kind of with Penguin on this. I was on my way home making my picks last night from Tunica, Mississippi, and I have no idea why I picked Northern Illinois. I'm looking at it right now a little bit more, and I still have no freaking clue what I was thinking. But you know what? Fuck it. Give me the Huskies by 14.
Preach.
Who do you have, Black Raid?
All right, so I know Old School or Stan personally because I used to pick him up from the airport in Vegas and we go out and party once in a while back in the old days. I played Quest too back when I had Ohio State and he was in the Big Ten, I think. I can't remember, such a long time ago.
So for Stan, partying with him and all that, I'm going to go with Quest for Gold. Miami, Ohio wins.
Man, after listening to Smitty say that, I'm fired. Like, ugh. This is hard to decide between the two, but I'm not a subject to logic. Northern Illinois has the 20 worst defense in the entire NBL. And Miami, Ohio scores 30 a game, just to be flat out honest about it. So, I mean, I think this is Miami, Ohio by a lot. I think you could see a potential 35er, maybe a 28er. So I'm going to take Miami, Ohio by a lot.
All right, guys. Next game on the list is we've got a couple of ACC teams, both 3-7. We have Pittsburgh and Boston College going against each other. Again, I mean, I think as you start to analyze these games and look at them, you know, one of the first things I look at is how this team looking doing offensively, because it's just such an offensive game. And Boston College right now averaging about 26 a game, while Pitt's averaging about 17. And so again, I think with just that reasoning alone, I think this is a close game. Obviously, you love conference matchup games. So I'm going to think it's going to be close, probably less than a touchdown, 24-20. But I am going to take Boston College. It's just a Catholic in me. They're just moving and scoring the ball really well. And again, just third down conversions, you know, Boston College is just better.
Sammy, mute.
Sorry.
Did we lose? Oh, there he is.
No, I'm still here. My bad. Sorry, guys. Caught me off guard. I will also second that. Give me Boston College.
Short and sweet.
Well, again, I'm going to go against everybody. I guess it's just the dumbass in me. But both teams' defenses suck. I mean, they gave up 270 points. So I'm going to go with the one that's gave up a little bit less. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I think their roster's probably a little bit better overall. I haven't played either one of these users, so I really can't speak on that. But I like Pittsburgh's colors better than I do Boston College. So I got Pittsburgh.
And Black Rain, who do you have?
I know Victim 7 from the old days of the PS2 days. We used to be in the league, and I played him this season so far. Football likely. I don't remember if I played him or not, but I know the name. So I'm going to take Boston College at home because of that defensive line is pretty good. If he gets a time to pass and he gets time to run, he should be able to hold Pittsburgh at bay at home. I'll take Victim 7.
You know, I think this is obviously Boston College's game to lose. You know, I mean, home field, I think better team to me personally. Great defensive line, already stated. But something tells me on the Sunday afternoon that he's going to play this game, he's going to get into the third quarter, look to his left, look to his right, and realize his pants are on fire. And I think he's going to implode and Pitt's going to take it down.
So I didn't know much about these two teams. Obviously, that's kind of the theme of game day this weekend. So I started to dig in Boston College's record, right? He has a three-point loss to Virginia Tech. He has a one-point loss to UConn out there with Coach Dave, who we know is a great coach. He has a 6-point loss against Florida State at the time, a 3-point loss to Illinois. Four good games that were obviously very winnable. He lost a 3-point game to Syracuse. That's 5 games. We could be talking about a completely different Boston College team if those 5 games, if he is able to swing that score in even half of those games. And so I think the biggest difference maker here for Boston College is going to be their running back. I think he's going to make the biggest difference here. Trell Jones, running back. He has almost 1,000 yards rushing, 158 attempts, 8 touchdowns. I think he's going to be the biggest difference maker here. He's going to have a big game against Pitt. I got Boston College.
I got to piggyback on a lot of those great points you made there, Tim. You could definitely make a case for Pitt in this game. but that's absolutely true that Boston College may be 3-7, but yeah, you could very easily be a 7-3 team just as well. And could that be an indictment of them not closing games out well? Maybe. But it also, there's a lot of just breaks in this game. Sometimes they're for you, sometimes they're against you. Boston College is at home. You're a home team. You're more likely to get the breaks. So I think luck shines on them today. And Boston College wins, and wins going away. That, I believe, will lead us right into talking about Baylor and Houston. Went into a couple of teams in the great state of Texas down there. So far this year, Baylor has enjoyed sitting at 3-2, kind of so-so. Houston only at 2-6. Both teams kind of, you know, obviously out of the talk for winning the conference, but both still in bowl eligibility mix, just barely for some than others. And I went back and forth on this a little bit. I got to, even though Houston's got the home field, I got to like Baylor a little better. Coach C. Nasty is... played some good ball over his years. He is another one of those vets that's been around a while. And I just see him pulling this one out in the end. Even though his offense is a little consistent, they've just got some explosive playmakers, which I think will prove to be the difference. Baylor Bears by 10.
So, I mean, listen, I try to do a little bit of research, to prepare for this and try to make, you know, some educated picks. And obviously I've had some success at 14-1, if y'all haven't noticed. But this one was hard. This one was hard for me. I like both these guys a ton. And I'm going to let the emotions get the best of me here. I play Houston and my guy, Uraga, all the time. He's become one of my closest friends here in the NDL so far. So can't pick against him. I love the way he slings the rock around. If he can play a little bit of defense and avoid a big turnover, I would just love to see him win. Love C. Nasty too. The guy I'm looking forward to meeting both these guys in April. But gonna go with Houston here. My heart, it's a heart pick for me.
Yeah, nice seeing a game between two longtime vets. The one stat, though, that stood out for me when making the pick for this, the last five games for Houston, he's given up an average of 50.8 points, five-game losing streak. I don't know what C. Nasty's offense is going to look like, but if it's ever going to look back how it did on the PS2, PS3 days, this would be the game to do it. So I'm going to take Baylor by two scores in this one.
Again, I really don't know if I was on heroin or not last night when I was picking this game. But looking at it now, I have absolutely no reason again why I'm picking Houston. I've played him before, like him. I guess it's just off who I played and who I like. I don't know, even though I like the Baylor guy too. I have no reason, no stats, didn't do anything. I was busy as crap yesterday. But I got the Cougs, man. Give them to me by 21.
Houston, rack high one, huh? 2-6 against Baylor. Corey, C. Nasty. I've partied with Corey in Vegas twice. And let's see. Houston, rack, he always plays tough. Both of them and Corey was pretty good at this game back in the day. I have to give it to Baylor. Baylor by 20.
Oop, there it goes. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really hard for me to pick any team that has the third worst defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give up 40. I think it's like 44 points a game. Dude, you give that up to anybody, much less Baylor, who I feel like has been striking up to recent. I think this is Baylor by a landslide.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You guys already hit on hit it right on the nose here. Houston, just to clarify, is giving up 41.9 points a game. And obviously a really horrible stretch down here for Houston.
But is that bad?
He does play all his games close, though. He is able to sling the ball around. He's scoring over 30 points a game. But I think it's just a recipe for disaster here. I think C. Nasty and Baylor is able to get the ball going and moving early and scoring early, forcing Houston into some mistakes. Common theme for me. If you're going to turn the ball over, you're going to lose in the NDL. And I think Baylor wins a close game, but it's going to be a shootout. We're talking 80 to 90 plus points between the two teams. I got Baylor winning.
All right. And next up on the docket, we've got some Sun Belt Fun Belt action. Appalachian State and Georgia Southern. So obviously we've got the Georgia Southern coach on right now. It's having a great season, looking, as he said, to push to 10 wins. Appalachian State, we have the tech god, Mr. NCSU homie, played almost every season in the league. And he was 9-4 last season. Mentioned earlier, he almost pulled an upset off against Old Dominion. But in this one, I don't think he'll be caught. I don't think Georgia Southern will be caught sleeping on this one. I think that raised a lot of eyebrows watching that game. There were a lot of eyes on that game between Old Dominion and Appalachian State. And it came down to the last drive, like the last couple of minutes of the game. Homie was driving, had a chance to try to pull it off. I got Georgia Southern in this one. I think French and White will be too much in this one. I see them winning by two scores.
Again, I have no idea what I was doing picking. I'm actually going to change this pick. Big Red's by far my favorite guy we've ever had on. I think he's a badass. His name's badass. Georgia Southern's badass. And there ain't no way they're getting beat by App State. So give me Georgia Southern, Big Red. Yeah, badass.
Homie's pretty good with that Appalachian State team. But Georgia Southern is actually playing pretty well. So Big Red, he takes it, takes the victory.
You know, I was sitting there trying to figure out how to prepare for this game. So I'm sitting there on the river with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know what he tells me? Just go open up a can of whoop ass on that motherfucker. Give me Georgia Southern by 35.
Oh, man, really? That homie is loving this. Homie's loving this. You know, I mean, for a guy like homie, I mean, we're talking about one of the, you know, the greatest NDL players just community-wide, but he's also been a great player. He's played over almost 400 games. He's won about half of those games. I think this game will be close, as we've seen earlier this season when homie was able to keep Old Dominion in check. If I'm not mistaken, played the closest game minus the Beefy Cup this season. But I do think Georgia Southern's offense is going to be the biggest difference. He's averaging, you know, a little over 40 points a game on the offensive side of the ball, although Appalachian State's defense is one of the best in the Sun Belt, with just under right around 21 points given up. And so something's going to got to give here. I think it's going to be Georgia Southern's offense is going to be a little too much. I think that rushing attack probably go for over 200 against Appalachian State, and that's going to be the biggest difference in the game. Control the clock, not turn it over. I think you're going to have a seven. It's going to be about 7 points is probably going to be the spread.
It definitely looks to be a good matchup. And as you said, you know, homie has, even though he's only sitting at 4-3, you know, that game he gave Old Dominion definitely raised a few eyebrows. And his other two losses were both only, in fact, all of his losses by 3 points. So, I mean, a couple of bad bounces. We could be talking about a 7-0 Appalachian State team and an underdog Georgia Southern. But Georgia Southern offense has shown to be really good. They're playing at home, and Big Red gave me two of the best answers I have ever heard in an interview. So that, I was picking Georgia Southern before then. If I wasn't picking them, I'd be picking them now. Georgia Southern is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you just kind of break down the stats and were to look at this game, just, you know, without knowing the coaches, I think you'd have to pick Georgia Southern for a lot of the reasons that were mentioned. Obviously, knowing, haven't had a chance to play him yet and would love to anytime soon. Homies, you know, with App State, that changes the narrative a little bit for me. I respect him as a coach, and I think he'll have some savvy to keep this game closer than it should be on paper. But, yeah, I mean, people have mentioned how good Georgia Southern's offense is. But not only is it good, it's efficient. And when you can score like that, it's hard to overcome. So good luck to homie, but I'm taking Georgia Southern. And I said it in the chat. Listen, I mean, how can you pick against the best and greatest and newest NDL treasure, Big Red? He's we must protect him at all costs.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. Here we go, going into the last game, save the best for the last. I think it's the greatest college football rivalry. Navy and Army, going to be a great game. Both guys don't have the best record, but looking at it, I mean, this just, who cares? If one's 10-0, one's 0-10, it doesn't matter. This is going to be a great game. Rosters are equal. Coaches are equal. Player, the quarterbacks are equal. I love Navy. If he loses Navy, that will be a top team on my list. They both run one of my favorite offenses, if not my favorite. Can't wait to watch this game, honestly. But I got to go with Navy. I've played him before. I talked to him about the triple option offense. And their roster is really – if you haven't looked at Navy's roster is loaded. And Big Red was talking about like a dynasty. A lot of those guys are sophomore and juniors on that roster. So I probably shouldn't have said that because somebody might try to steal them from me, but give me Navy by 14.
Who do you got, Black Rain?
I think I played KY Shark a long time ago. I can't remember, but I've played Ice a lot. Ice is pretty good. I give you that. And that Navy team's pretty well. Navy's a pretty good team. Army's a good team, too. Take Ice because of his experience. And if he has time to play, he'll probably win this by at least. It'd be a close game. 25-22.
Big Red slamming beers with Stone Cold right now.
Oh, sorry, my fault. I'm staring off into the distance, thinking about our nation's great soldiers. And man, as I was sitting here looking at this game, I can't reasonably say that Army's going to hold with this team. Navy has the win over App State, which is, you know, that's an incredible upset in its own right to me, like looking at where the two teams are now. And I mean, they beat Temple, which Temple's Temple. But, I mean, your only two wins are for the Army side is North Texas and Air Force. And North Texas, frankly, has been awful. So, I mean, I got to have Navy here by probably a landslide, unfortunately.
And so the Army-Navy game been played 30 times in the NDL season. Obviously, we're in season 31 right now. This is a crazy stat. I've obviously started to look at these matchups more and more each week. This is probably one of the most lopsided NDL head-to-heads. Navy has won 26 of the 30 games that they have played. Obviously, different coaches every time and stuff like that, and so that does play in a factor. But that's extremely crazy lopsided. Man, the biggest glaring issue I'm having right now with picking Navy is Navy is the only team in the NDL that's been held to under 10 points three times this season. They have scored 7, 6, and 7. And so I'm having a really hard time picking a team that's had a hard time lately. Take out season week 2 and 3, they've had a really hard time moving the ball this season, to whereas Army, they've been able to score points. They've been held under 10 points only once. They've scored 21, 14, 16, 21, 35. They won, scoring 37 and 35. I know that was against Air Force and North Texas. But, man, I think Army's getting over the hump. Coach, old KY Shark there, is going to score some points. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I think they win like 21-17. All right, pick an Army.
As we've said many times, this is a game where, you know, you throw out the records and whatnot. Army's got a bunch of advantages from what they've done on the field, and they're playing at home. But, man, I feel Navy. You know, they've got the Marines cheering them on as well. They've got a little bit more speed. And I think that's going to make a difference. They're going to submarine the army. And in the end, this game actually won't be close. Navy will win big.
Wow. So first of all, to guys like Rain and Lick, obviously guys that serve our communities, serve people, and obviously the people that protect our country, thank you for your services and your sacrifices. We just would not be the country we are without you guys. So thank you all out there that are listening, that serve our country and serve our communities. Listen, not only do I think Army's going to win, I think they're going to win pretty handily here for all the reasons that Lick mentioned with Navy's offense. I do respect these guys. I do believe that both these guys actually run their actual offenses. And like Smitty, I love the wishbone. I love the old school, offenses. But with that being said, and having used them both and stuff, I like Army's offense just a little bit better. I like their playbook better. I think they'll have the opportunity to score. So give me Army 24-17.
I was wondering, I saw those numbers too, Lick, on the series being 26-4, and I was just thinking, like, man, what's going on? Is there some weird NDL juju going on favoring Navy that we just don't know about? But Navy's won the last six. And I'm not gonna lie, I was gonna pick Navy, but I was doing my research when my dad was around. And he brought up two things that made me change my mind. One, he reminded me my first ever NDO game, I got 35 by KY Stark when he was at Virginia Tech. Two, the fact that my dad was in the Army and absolutely said, I will unplug your computer if you submit Navy as the winner. So for that reason alone, I just have to go with Army. I can't make dad mad. I know he's going to hear this. So sorry, Dad, to call you out on this, but yeah. Got to go with Army.
And there you have it, Sammy being strong-armed into picking Army for the College Game Day. Man, what a great show we've had. Big shout-out. I just want to give a shout-out to Pat. We'll be praying for your safe travels, traveling across the United States for a big move from the West Coast to the East Coast. Him and his dad listening right now, driving on the road. I want to be obviously a big thank you to Black Rain, old vet in the NDL, coming on the show, waking up early this morning on the West Coast. And then we got Big Red, who's got a big baseball game today at the college ranks, and he joined us on the show for the game day. I really appreciate you two coming on the show, Black Rain and Big Red. You guys are welcome to come on anytime you guys would like.
Appreciate that. It was fun talking to you guys and talking about I could go on forever talking about the old school days and all the guys that left and not here with us anymore, but it's been fun, man. Especially, I read one of the comments and somebody says, I like to party. Yeah, everybody comes to Vegas and they hit me up, majority of the people. Remember Feisty? Feisty was, he came out here a couple of times. Old school Australian, Corey, what is it? I can't remember all the names. Even Noel for real came out here. Let's see. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of guys that came out and partied out here.
For starters, just thank you for having me. I'll do this. I'll start commentating games. Man, John Gruden, I do this shit for free. I love being a part of the media stuff, and I love being a little more involved with all the NDL guys. And just wait, whenever you'll have me, I'm here for it, man. And I'm going to go kick Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College's ass today. So I'll let you know how it goes in the live chat, and I'll see you fellas later.
Man, love having you on the show, Big Red. What we're going to do a little bit differently is we're going to give Wobbles the last minute of the show today to talk about anything that Wobbles wants to talk about as he's leading our NDL Pick'em. He made sure to let everyone know that. Wobbles, the floor is yours.
That's right. Remember it. Listen, I'll keep this kind of short and sweet. I know we're a little over, but listen, today was a perfect example, guys, of why the NDL is so special, having both these guys on and listening to them. Having been a newly member of, being a commissioner and also, being part of the media stuff, I've gotten a little peek behind the curtain on how much effort goes into a lot of these things, and all the guys that, sacrifice their time to make the NDL what it is. So, listen, man, I know there's some squibbling and some quabbling on the live chat and stuff like this, guys, but, Obviously getting older, I've seen some stuff happen. We've all seen some stuff happen. Life is fragile. Dude, this stuff is so much fun. We're so blessed to have it. Let's not take it for granted, man. Thank you to Homie and Lick and all the guys that do this stuff that make this league even extra. I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Hopefully we'll be part of it, you know, until the arthritis sets in. I can't do it anymore. But yeah, man, this thing is, it's changed my life. I love being a part of it, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you that make it happen. We'll be right back.